parable. It's a parable about listening. Jesus says, listen. So I went out to sow. The interesting thing about this parable is that if you just read the parable, and we're not going to read it. We're going to read some of Jesus' explanation of it, but you know the parable. The parable is, the sower went out to sow. He threw the seed out there. Some of the seed fell on hard ground. Birds came and ate it. Some of it fell on rocky soil, you know, it was kind of thin soil, and it germinated and the plant grew for a little while, but you know, it didn't last. Sun came out, and it didn't have depth of root, and it dried up and it died. And some of it fell among soil that had a lot of thorns and some weeds in it, and it grew up for a while, but then the weeds and the thorns also grew up and they choked out the plant, so it didn't do anything either. But then some of the seed fell on good soil, and it was productive. It grew up, and it produced a lot of crops. And that's it. That's what Jesus said. He said that to the people. And a lot of people said, I wonder what that means, and left. But at the end of it, at the end of explaining this business about sowing seed and some of it falls on good soil and some on bad soil, after he said all that, he said this in verse 9. He said, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. What I just told you, you need to hear it. Well, okay. But I heard it. I heard what you said, Jesus. I heard this business about seed and soil. Yeah, some of it grows, some of it doesn't grow. I heard it. So what? What do you mean, he who has ears to hear, let him hear? I heard it. I don't really get it. It doesn't make any sense to me, or I don't see any profound truth in that. It's just seed and soil, and it grows or it doesn't grow, and what difference does it make? And so, what do you mean, he who has ears to hear, let him hear? And so, people trot off home and they go about their daily lives, and that's it. Well, I hope that is not your experience when you hear the Word of God. For a lot of people, it is. I hope it's not for you. Jesus says to his disciples, because they stayed. And so that's part of the secret of this hearing and listening thing. They stayed. Everybody else went home, they stayed. And Jesus said, you know what? The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables. Because they asked him, they said, why are you teaching in parables? And he said, let me explain it to you. And that's also part of this listening thing. They asked. They asked the question. Why are you doing that? What do you mean? And Jesus says, I want to explain it to you. These other people, they're not going to get it. And you read that sentence there, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables. And so there's insiders and there's outsiders. And you say, well, that doesn't seem fair. Why is Jesus playing favorites? Why does he have insiders and why does he have outsiders? And he goes on to say, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. Well, what determines whether a person's an insider or an outsider? Is it Jesus? Or is it the person? When Jesus says to everybody, listen. And if you've got ears to hear, hear. Use your ears. Some of those people who heard that came to Jesus and said, we don't understand what you're talking about. Explain it to us. And he did. And some people, most people, didn't. The question is, which one are you going to be? Some people have the idea that God plays favorites or that He's unfair. God's unfair. God's unfair because if He really wanted me to believe in Him, then He would do something. He would say something, and he would say it in such a way that it would be clear and obvious to me. But you know, relationships don't work that way. Relationships are a two-way street. And it requires that you show an interest. And it's not any different with God. There were disciples who were interested, and there were a lot of people who weren't interested. And the ones who were interested, they came and they say, "We don't understand, explain this to us." And Jesus did. And there were a lot of people who said, "Eh." And they walked home. They weren't interested. They didn't want to know. So they didn't. And you can say that God's unfair in doing that, but that is not an argument that you're going to win. Because you have in your possession, I'm sure, the explanation. And practically everybody that you know has a copy of the same conversations that the disciples had with Jesus and the explanations that Jesus gave and the explanation that we're just about to read. I mean, you've got it. It's not like you're cut off. It's not like you don't have access. So it's not a matter of God playing favorites or being unfair or shutting certain people out. Everybody gets a chance. Everybody gets to hear. Everybody has the explanation. The question is, do you have ears to hear? Listen. That's what this parable is about. Ever hearing but never understanding. Ever hearing but never understanding. What does that mean? Well, they hear it, but they don't get it. Well, why don't they get it? Well, that's what the parable is about. They hear it, but they don't get it. Why do they not get it? Some people, verse 15 of Mark 4, some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. And again, you might say, well, that's not fair. They didn't get a chance. Well, that's not what Jesus is saying. They had a chance, but they didn't jump on it. Didn't matter to them. Didn't mean anything to them. Went in one ear and went right out the other. They heard the same. Everybody there heard the same things. The disciples heard the same thing. They come to Jesus and they say, "We don't get this. Explain this to us." He explains it to them. They get it. They understand it. They wrote it down. You can read it. You can understand it. But these people, the people on the hard path, the people who are thick-headed and not interested and don't care, they don't get it. They don't understand it. They could, but they don't. Because they're not interested. You ever try to strike up a relationship with someone? Like, you know, if you're a boy and you're interested in a girl and you try to strike up a conversation and you just get the cold shoulder. I had a date with a girl one time. It wasn't pegged, thankfully. And we went on this date and I had an Oldsmobile. I was driving my Oldsmobile. And it was this long bench front seat. And we went on this date. And I think she had, at the end of the evening, I think she had an impression of the symbol of the Oldsmobile in her arm where she was hunched up against the door on the other side. She was not interested. That was not an uncommon experience for me. Not interested in a relationship. Not interested in hearing any more of my sad jokes or observations. Not interested. And that's the way relationships don't get started. They're not interested. Don't want to hear it. Satan doesn't want you to hear it either. And, you know, there's a whole world of people out there. They've got access to the Bibles. They've got access to the truth. But they are not interested. And so they don't hear. They don't listen. They hear, but they don't hear. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word. And there's so many people like that. I don't want to hear it. No, no, thank you. Okay. Mark 4:16-17, others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Now here's people who have a little more investment, a little more interest. And so, in fact, they have enough investment, enough interest to get some of it. They get some of it. Some of what Jesus is saying, and they're kind of sort of interested in it. In fact, they're sort of interested in it enough that they actually kind of like it, and they kind of respond to it, and they have a reaction to it, and they say, yeah, I kind of like that. But how long does it last? See, that's the question. See, there's hearing that only lasts a little bit of time, and then it just gone. And then there's a little bit of hearing that goes a little longer period of time, but it just doesn't stick. And that's what he says. Only a short time. Only a short time. Because they have no root. There's no deep and abiding interest. And I would say also not a deep and abiding understanding. Some people's understanding of the Word of God is shallow. It's a shallow understanding because they haven't listened enough. They've heard a little bit, but only a little bit. And they've thought about it some, but only a little bit of some. And so they don't really get it. They get it sort of, but not really. And so when you don't have that depth of understanding, if you don't really invest, throw yourself into it and really get it, then it doesn't stick with you. And so it's a different kind of listening. It's better than the hard path listening, but it's still insufficient listening. And then there's others, like the seed sown among thorns. They hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires for other things come in and choke out the word. They choke it out, making it unfruitful. Now, here is a kind of hearing that it hears, and it has some understanding, some commitment, some level of acceptance. But the problem is that they're also hearing other things. So it's a problem of conflicting messages, you know. They got the message of God, but then they have the message of the world. And let me tell you something. The world is good at making you listen. For the devil has all kinds of messages. And the devil is very good at dressing up and producing a message that looks appealing and looks entertaining and interesting and will grab your attention and make you buy into it. You can take the most vile and evil and stupid message in the world, but if you dress it up well enough, if your production values are good enough, you can get a lot of people to buy it. And that's what the devil does. It's conflicting messages. They hear this message, but then they hear this message, and they're bombarded with this other message. And finally they succumb to it, and they hear the call of the world and the voice of the world and the message of the world, and it means and matters more to them than the message of God. And that's why people, they don't stay with Christ. And when Jesus says you need to listen, he's talking about what you should not listen to as well. Others, he says in verse 20, are like seed sown on good soil. They hear the word, they accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. It's interesting how Mark uses the word accept it. They accept it, which means to embrace it and take it. And it builds on the concept of a germinating seed, you know. It takes hold. Matthew uses the word understands it, which kind of flavors it a little bit differently, doesn't it? Accept it, understand it. Well, is it understand it or accept it? I would argue that the both of them are part of the same thing. If you really understood what Jesus was saying, you would accept it. But if you don't listen well enough to really understand it, then it's not likely that you're going to accept it. And it's interesting, isn't it, that what Jesus pronounces as the means or method by which you are to understand what God is trying to do is this word, this message. They hear the word. And it presumes that you can hear it and that you can understand it. And the only reason that you wouldn't is because you're not this. And that means you're responsible. We're all responsible. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Responsible for accepting it. Responsible for understanding it. You can. You should. And if you really do, and how do you know you really do? Well, you produce something. It makes a change in your life. It makes you different. It makes you better. It makes you more like God, which is exactly what it's supposed to be about. And in Mark 4, verses 23 and 24, at the end of saying some other things, Jesus says this: if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear. Which is, in my way of thinking, kind of the conclusion of that whole chain of thought. He starts out with the word listen, and he ends by saying, you need to listen carefully. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen carefully. So, what separates the listeners from the non-listeners? Well, there's interest. You interested? Because I can guarantee you, if you're not interested, you're not going to get it. But there's also understanding. You can hear something, not understand it. But how can you understand it? If you hear it and you don't understand it, how can you understand it? Well, you got to do what the disciples did. Listen carefully. Think about it. Ask questions. Listen to the answers. Ask more questions. Get more answers. You think the disciples of Jesus understood everything that Jesus said out of the box? No, they did not. It took them years to understand some of the things that Jesus said. And some of the things that Jesus said, they absolutely didn't like. They said, man, this is tough. I don't get it. But they stayed. They kept listening. Eventually they understood. And they accepted because, you know, that's what you do. Once you understand it, then you say, oh, okay, I get this. I accept this. This makes sense to me. And then you make a commitment to it. Because that's part of listening too. When Jesus says listen, he doesn't mean just audit the class. He means you need to hear what I'm saying because you need to understand what I'm saying because you need to do what I'm saying. Produce something. Respond. React. Grow. And produce fruit. Practice what I'm talking about. That's a real listener. A real listener who really gets it, practices it. So that's our parable about listening. Have you been listening? I hope you have. If you don't understand, ask. If you want to know more, ask. I'll spend all the time in the world with you. I'll keep explaining it to you as best I can. Until you get it. If that's what you want. But that's up to you. God wants a relationship with you. He wants an eternal relationship with you. And He has sent this message of His Son, and He sent it to you and to me and everybody else, and He says, listen. Are you listening? If you are, and you accept it, if you understand at least enough to know that you need to become a Christian, you need to say, I believe in Jesus. You know that you need to turn away from the sins in your life and you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Then start there. Start with obeying that basic, simple command. obey the gospel, and then start listening and understanding and accepting. If you want to begin that process tonight, come forward and say that you will as we stand and sing.
Please turn to 158, Nailed to the Cross. There was one who was willing to die in my stead, that a soul so unworthy might live. And the path to the cross he was willing to tread, all my sins of my life to forgive. They are nailed to the cross, they are nailed to the cross. Oh, how much he was willing to bear. With what anguish and loss Jesus went to the cross, but he carried my sins with him there. He is tender and loving and patient with me, while he cleanses my
heart of its wrongs.
But there's no condemnation. I know I am free, for my sins are all nailed to the cross. They are nailed to the cross, they are nailed to the cross. Oh, how much he was willing to bear. With what anguish and loss Jesus went to the cross, but he carried my sins with him there.
We have an opportunity this time to pass the communion, to remember what great sacrifice Jesus went through to make our salvation possible. After Jeremy leads the word of prayer, if you would raise your hand.
Our Father, we approach you at this time, thanking you for all the blessings of life. And we thank you so much for Jesus and his willing sacrifice on our behalf and the hope that we have through him. We pray as those that partake this evening of the bread that they would remember his body that was given on our behalf. And we pray in his name. Amen.
Amen. Let us pray again. Our Father in heaven, be grateful for this another occasion on the first day of the week for each one of us today to remember that great sacrifice that you and your Son went through to make our salvation possible, that showed that certainly you and your Son loved us very much. We want to make a way possible that we can spend eternity with you in heaven. If we'd always be mindful to have this on our mind, how important it is to walk that straight and narrow path that leads to heaven. This prayer is asked through your Son's name. Amen.
Amen.
Ask Jeremy to lead us for our prayer again.
Father, we continue our thanks for the many blessings of life and for all the opportunities that we have, recognizing that you bless us so richly. At this time, as those that give back, we ask that they would do so cheerfully and that the funds that are collected would be used to further your kingdom and your word. We thank you so much for your word. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm.
When Doug spoke this morning about singing and songs, he talked about songs that we sang before we ever knew what they meant. And this is certainly one for me, this song and the one we sang first, Lord, We Come Before Thee Now, probably the two of the songs I first ever led as a child. And this one always wanted to make me get up and march. So before we get up and march out of here, let's sing Here We Are But Straying Pilgrims. Rise if you would, please. Here we are but straying pilgrims, here our path is often dim, but to cheer us on our journey, still we sing this wayside hymn. Yonder over the rolling river, where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our home forever, and the smile of the blessed giver gladdens all our longing eyes. Here our feet are often weary on the hills that